JG 1. Number 10A.
Said, and we just repeat again, she said, "Would does image mean that it's a hologram?" And yes, but always call it a divine hologram if we use the term. As Max Kapler used the term cybernetics from the world, that just means those self-operating machines. It has quite a human connotation, but we always then qualify it with divine cybernetics. So we would have to call it a divine hologram, a divine image. Okay. And is there any other definition there in general of how is idea defined?
Immediate object of understanding.
Good, Dick. Dick said that it's the immediate object of understanding. It's an object, isn't it, Dick? And that's wonderful because I remember early on when I gave classes early on in Seattle, there was a woman there that when we would talk about idea universe and a mind universe, this is, gosh, 20, 25 years ago, before this, even the concept of a mental universe has taken hold as it has today, they just couldn't understand that, well, then everything was airy-fairy and nothing would be there. There was always a sense, well, if it was idea, then man must be just a big brain in reality floating around, or there wouldn't be any form or substance to the image. And yet we now know that it's immediate object of understanding. And through our work of the synonyms, what does spirit say about that idea in relationship to form? Does spirit say that is an immediate object? What does spirit give to the idea? Substance. What does soul give to the idea? Identity. What does principle give to the idea?
Science
and system and operation and structure. Structure. It makes that idea, that identity, a structured pattern, a structured concrete pattern. What does life give to the idea?
Individuality.
What does truth give to the idea?
Form.
And whole form. A form.
But a whole form,
a whole structured form, a whole pattern, doesn't it? A whole form. So therefore the idea isn't deformed in any way, is it? An idea can walk, can it? An idea can do everything. On every level of consciousness, an idea is in its whole form. It has a definite, unique form to itself. It can be seen. It can be observed. It isn't airy-fairy. Just as that hologram has a definite form, doesn't it? And what does love give to the idea?
Perfection
of the form. Anything else?
Completion
of the form. The sum total of the form. Dave?
Oh, I said fulfillment.
Fulfillment of the form. Okay. And it also puts the form where? Does love leave the form just wandering around
in a plan?
Good. Good. It's in a plan or design of its own? In a universal plan. Okay, good. And where is that plan? Is it in time or space?
No.
Where is it? In love. In love? And is love in time or space? It's timeless and spaceless in the fourth dimension of spirit. So it's in the realm. Love is always a realm, a field. That form operates in a field. They always say today, you know, in structuralism, that that a form is defined as a point of intersection within a field, doesn't it? It's the point of intersection that defines what a form is. That a bird is a bird and has its particular form because it's a point of intersection in a field. Because of being in the air and the atmosphere and where it flies around, that it is defined by its point of intersection.
Otherwise, it would be amorphous.
Otherwise, it would be amorphous. It is defined by its place value within the field. We are defined by the field around us, and the field around us is God. So mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love operating as the word Christ, Christianity, and science on the levels of science, divine science, and absolute Christian science. That's the field that's defining our form. We're that unique point of intersection. We're the unique pattern of God. We're all the pattern of God shown forth in a unique way. That's what love does. That's that field of love that finally defines that form. So when Dick says it's an immediate object of understanding, that means a lot, doesn't it, Dick? It's an object. And that clarifies in the world that many were afraid at that time to come into Christian Science because they thought they would lose their identity. That's mysticism. We asked, therefore, to bring some concepts of mysticism. Well, the general concept of mysticism is that we're sucked up into an undifferentiated whole. That's just the general, overall tone, the mystic, a union mystico. But we can see that science is that which takes the infinite one and reduces it to its ideas. It takes the infinite one and makes it appear as the many, yet still remains the one. Okay? All right, now, point two in the study question. What is the origin of idea, first of all, and then what is not? First of all, what have we seen in the textbook is the origin of an idea? How does she say it? And define it from the textbook in just a sentence.
Say mind?
Oh, from the textbook. I'd want references from the textbook. That's what I asked. I asked, the answer to the following question can be found in the textbook. If you haven't the work, that's fine. We will go over it here. Now, in your research work during the year, what did we find on how she defined the origin of idea? Give it from a specific reference.
Page 112-17.
Uh-huh. And how does she define it?
From the infinite one. In Christian Science, comes one principle and its infinite idea.
Okay, and that, Mike, is on page?
112, line 17.
All right, so return to page 112:17, and asking what is the origin of the idea? Michael said, well, the origin of the idea is from the infinite one, from science itself. And therefore, Mike, on science itself, Is idea mentioned on the level of science itself? No. But is idea implied on the level of science itself? Yes. How is it implied?
The infinite one.
Yeah.
Infinite meaning all the ideas embedded in one.
Okay, good. So Michael said it's implied by meaning that it is included within the infinite one. I am that I am. Yes.
Another way of looking at that too, on that level, principle is conscious of itself.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And that's idea.
That implies idea.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Okay, good. Do we have any other references to the origin of the idea that Mike shows there? She says, from the infinite one comes one principle and its infinite idea, that idea then comes from the infinite one. Therefore, is there any other? Dave?
Well, this is starts on page 29.
It comes
down a little bit to the human to begin with.
Page 29. We turn to page 29. Okay.
Well, the meat is on the next page, but I'll start
okay.
here
Go
to
ahead.
Get the
yeah.
atmosphere. Man is the offspring. It's line 30.
30.
29.
Mm-hmm.
Man is the offspring of God as the idea of spirit is the immortal evidence that spirit is harmonious and man eternal. Jesus was the offspring of Mary's self-conscious communion with God. Hence, he could give a more spiritual idea of life than other men, and could demonstrate the science of love, his father or divine principle. And what hit me was the science of love is his father.
Oh, good. All right. So Dave wanted us to look there then on science and health on 30. First of all, he wanted us to see on page 29 that man or idea is the offspring of God, the idea of spirit. So God is the origin of idea, Dave says. Spirit is the origin of idea. Okay? And he also shows there then that hence he could give a more spiritual idea of life than other men and could demonstrate the science of love. That the science of love imparts the idea. Huh? Love alone is the origin of the idea. Okay? All these synonymous terms refer to God principle. Okay, so the idea is an idea of love and the science of love. Good. Any other references?
151.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
126.
151. Line 26.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And there, Ellen, do you want me to read it for you? Okay. Ellen says that she'd like us to look at page 151, line 26, and it says, all that really exists is the divine mind and its idea. And in this mind, the entire being is found harmonious and eternal. So, all right, it shows then that all that exists, exists in the divine mind. Okay? And we could see then in a general way, let's turn to, I think it's page 256, where we want to get these clear-cut references where she really says what it is. I believe it. 31? Yeah. Yeah, mind, infinite mind is the creator. And the creation is the infinite image or idea emanating from this mind. That's really clear cut, isn't it? That infinite mind is the creator. And the creation is the infinite image or idea emanating from this mind. So an idea emanates from mind, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All is infinite mind in its infinite manifestation. Okay, I think that's good. I think that's enough to show that what we study in Christian Science as idea, divine hologram, is that which is emanating from the divine mind itself, not from the human mind. All right, point three. How is idea related to Christ? Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry, I didn't want to go on because I also asked at point two, what is not idea? Do you have any references where we can confirm that what is not the origin of an idea? Let's try page 191, line one. So she says quite clearly, the brain can give no idea of God's man. Huh? It can take no cognizance of mind. Matter is not the origin of infinite mind. So therefore, the brain does not create ideas. Ideas do not emanate from the brain. They emanate only from the divine mind. That's verification that our subject is spiritual and certainly not of the mental realm. Okay. Now let's go on then to point three. How is idea related to Christ? Now, Christ is what in relationship to idea? How does she say that Christ is idea? Just with some references there.
On page 29, 26, the Christ dwelt forever in idea in the bosom of God.
Good, okay. Let's look on page 29, 26.
What page?
29, 26. And we're talking about, the question is, how is idea related to Christ? Sue said on page 2926, and in the paragraph above, speaking of Jesus,
Christ.
The Christ, huh?
God.
He proved by his deeds that Christian Science destroyed, let's see. 29, I'm sorry. Is that, you said 29, didn't you?
29.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. Okay, let's take a look. The Christ dwelt forever as an idea in the bosom of God. Good. The divine principle of the man Jesus. Wonderful. And woman perceived this spiritual idea, though at first faintly developed. That's wonderful. Therefore, Christ is an idea in God, huh? Wonderful. The Christ dwelt forever as an idea in the bosom of God, the divine principle of the man Jesus. Oh, how wonderful. So Christ is the idea of God. Does that equate God, Jesus and Christ as one literally? Do you see a differentiation between Christ's mission and Jesus' mission there? Gita?
She had the answer later on 324. She says, if Christ be not reason, then is our preaching in vain. And the Christ that dwelt forever,
yes,
before Abraham was,
good,
I am. And the eternal Christ and Jesus as being the embodiment, let's say, the
good. So,
messenger, or a specific mission at a specific 1,000-year period, or a specific level of consciousness.
Good. Okay. Gita, to paraphrase the saying, then the Christ exists as an idea of God. So, therefore, it's the Christ is God idea. God appearing as the Christ. God appearing as the Christ, huh? The Christ is God in operation. If idea is the expression of God, then the Christ is the expression of God. It's an office of God, isn't it? Yes. You can hear that.
Yeah, I think that this is the main tone throughout the definitions, because in the platform she has Christ, the true idea of sonship.
Uh-huh.
And
good.
He proved that Christ is the idea of God. All the references for God, the Christ.
Okay.
And it's Christ idea. Christ idea of God.
Good, good. All right, so the first part of it is that she seems to differentiate between the office of Christ and Jesus, and showing that Christ is really an office. It isn't personalized just to Jesus, where that isn't always true. We know in world religions, is it? So they think Jesus himself was God. But here, Jesus was just a individual representation of the Christ, of which we are also, because it's just an office of God. It's a state of consciousness, isn't it? So I think it's clear here that the Christ dwelt forever as an idea in the bosom of God. But that Christ idea was a divine principle of the man, Jesus, who, as she later on goes on to say, was the highest human corporeal concept of the divine ideas, we'll see. But at this point, the Christ itself is an office in God. The Christ is God in operation as idea. Do we see?
Yes.
Good. It's wonderful.
Doesn't this go right back to the first translation and the definition?
Yes. Yes.
It goes right back there.
Mm-hmm. And so far there, that the Christ is God in expression.
The image in mind and the object of it, the immediate object of understanding.
Yes, absolutely. It's an office in God, huh?
Yes.
Right.
The object.
Mm-hmm. Very clear. Good. Any other references?
Page 45, 16.
Page 45?
16.
16.
It has the Christ.
Page 45, 16. Christ hath rolled away the stone from the door of human hope and faith, and through the revelation and demonstration of life in God hath elevated them to possible at-one-ment with the spiritual idea of man and his divine principle, love. Okay, now how do you see that Christ here then is not equated with the man Jesus? Chris, is that what you want to say?
Right.
That the Christ is God in operation. Is that what you'd like to show there? Divine principle love. Okay. All right. So again, showing that Christ exists as idea of God, meaning that it's God in operation. It's a special, unique office of God. Good. I think we got the main point there on three. All right. Point four. How is idea related to Christ Jesus? Okay. Yeah, well, we've been certainly talking about it. So this just ties in with what we've been saying. What about Christ Jesus? We've seen now that Christ is idea, God in expression. Now what about Jesus called the Christ? What can we say? How does she handle the Christ in relationship to Jesus? Let's get some references now to that.
1, 4, 73, 12.
Okay. Dave asked us to look on what page, Dave?
4, 7, 3, 12.
4, 7, 3, 12.
Or approximately 12.
4, 7, 3, 12.
Well, why don't you start maybe a little earlier up there, wherever it makes sense.
Okay. 4, 7, 3.
11, 10 or 3. Yeah, okay.
And is that okay? Where would you like to start?
Why don't you start on line 10.
On line 10. Okay, all the way to the end of the paragraph?
Yeah.
Dave wants us to read here in relationship to Jesus, the Christ, how is idea related to Christ Jesus? She says, Christ is the ideal truth that comes to heal sickness and sin through Christian Science and attributes all power to God. Jesus is the name of the man, good, who more than all other men has presented Christ, the true idea of God, healing the sick and sinning and destroying the power of death. Jesus is the human man and Christ is the divine idea, hence the duality of Jesus the Christ. Very good, Dave. I think that gives it in the nutshell, don't you? That's very, very clear. The differentiation between Christ as the ideal truth in operation, wonderful. And it's that Christ that comes to heal, not Jesus. Didn't it? That the Christ healed.
There is a divinity and humanity and a humanity and divinity. Is that?
Yes, well, that's what she's showing here, huh? Yeah, sure. She's showing that very clearly, that the divinity, the Christ of Jesus, the humanity, huh? And how that humanity reflects the divinity.
I think sometimes we try to separate that and then we're with dualism.
Then we're with dualism. But it is one, absolutely, because Jesus, as a human corporeal concept, he reflected the Christ, huh? He was the idea of the Christ. He reflected the Christ in his consciousness, and therefore that made principle Christ and Jesus as idea one, huh? All right. So that's where. The structure of reality and the structure of consciousness are one and the same thing. That's what we're after. And that's what Jesus showed, that highest sense of divine science. And that's where he was at work in divine science, where the Christ and Jesus were one, and this one was the Christ in operation. That's why he kept saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Christ in operation. But don't call me good, call the Christ. Because he was just getting Jesus out of the way and letting the Christ happen in his life. By always saying, it's not my will, but thine be done. So he was an impersonal representation of the Christ idea, of which we all are when we say he was at that point of Christianity where he individually showed us how to do it. And thought accepts the divine infinite calculus, that love tone where it says there, well, he said, it's not my will but thine, meaning I get Jesus out of the way and I accept what that Christ brings to me in my experience through its translation and retranslation. And I know it's always operating for the maximum of good, bringing out pre-established perfection. But he always knew it was a Christ doing the work and not Jesus himself. He always knew that, didn't he? Always. Yeah, see, if we go on down there on page, were we on page 473? Going down to line 26, Jesus established what he said by demonstration. Certainly did that, and that's up to us too. Thus making his acts of higher importance than his words. Oh my, isn't that true? He proved what he taught. Subject and object is one. This is the science of Christianity. And what is the science of Christianity? That Jesus proved the principle which healed the sick and cast out error to be divine. So he proved it by his acceptance that he was the Son of God, that it was a Christ in operation, and his getting Jesus out of the way proved that the Christ was operating in its translation and retranslating, and that it was the Christ itself doing the healing. Wonderful. Those are excellent references. Okay.